good evening and good afternoon to all of our wrestler parents and coaches. This is Coach McClay at Ohio Northern University bringing you our podcast series dedicated to helping anyone and everyone with their college and wrestling experiences. Today I'm here with Cole Mefford. Before we start with the podcast episode, I'd like to apologize for the brief break. I got quarantined, finals weeks were a little bit crazy. But we're back on track, and we're going to be turning out episodes every week on Monday, same as usual, so be on lookout for those. But with that being said, we'll start right as I push record.
My name is Cole Mefford. I'm a junior accounting major here. I'm also in the ROTC program at Bowling Green State University.
Awesome. So let's talk about, well, both of us. First off, let's talk about school. So what do you plan on doing with your degree?
Right now, I kind of want to get my CPA and do more stuff with taxes. So pretty much when the tax season comes around, that's kind of where I want to be at. But that's kind of my later in life goal.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is come April 16th, I should be talking to you.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
yeah, you're the good friend to have. That's a good side hustle, no matter what point of stage of life you're in. I've had a friend who does, he's really good with taxes. And, you know, people pay him $30, $40 to do all their taxes. And he just spends an hour, you know, that's $30 an hour. Get four or five friends to do that, that's a great hustle, man. Something I can't do. I'm actually really bad with numbers.
Yeah, not that bad, so.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be a little bit better if you're going to do it. But that's, I'm assuming that's after your military goals?
Yeah.
So what are your military goals? First off, where are you at right now?
Right now I'm an MS3, so junior status.
Okay.
Right now we're pretty much getting to the, like, our height of what we have to be doing. This summer I go to my advanced camp, basically get tested on all my battle tactic knowledge, how I flip op wards. Basically, we just get a huge test. It's right now, because of COVID, it can be anywhere from like 8 days to 45 days. It's 45 days is what it
was originally.
Yeah, but because of COVID, they shortened it. So if they kind of lift those policies up, it's going to be 45 days over the summer where I'm pretty much out in the woods for probably 2 weeks of it.
Just surviving off the land?
Pretty much. We get MREs to eat.
Oh, they give you the MREs?
Yeah, but we got to pretty much sleep on the ground in our sleeping bags.
Oh, then you're roughing it. That's camping.
Yeah,
they take you camping.
Pretty much.
It's just not fun camping.
Yeah. You know, go to bed around midnight, wake up at 5 a.m.
Yeah, it sounds
normal
fun.
Stuff that they make us do.
So when you do this, are you like in charge of a little squadron, or is it you guys are all on the same level and you guys just have to make your way through it?
So there's different leadership positions you can be put in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a PL, which platoon leader, and there's a PSG, platoon sergeant, and then there's also team leaders and squad leaders. Mostly if you're a PL, you're in charge of a platoon leader, or in charge of a platoon leader. You're in charge of a platoon, and pretty much at that point, you know, they give you a thing called an op order, which is a company base.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to pull everything out of that that would pertain to you as a platoon. So you pull that out, you write it all down, then you have to brief that to your squad leaders and make sure that they know the game plan. So pretty much after they get briefed what's going on, after I told them everything, then they have to disseminate that down to their team leaders.
Okay.
And the team leaders disperse that out to anyone else that's not informed yet.
Okay, so it sounds like you're second in command in this chain that you just mentioned. Is that what I heard right?
Not, kind of. At that point, as a platoon leader during the mission, you're first in command of your platoon, but at a company base, then yeah, you would be second in command, I guess.
Okay, cool. So I'm sure there's a lot of struggles between balancing wrestling, school, and military life, right?
Yeah, there's a lot.
I can imagine. So I'm sure you get up at an ungodly hour, like 4 o'clock in the morning or something, and then you're busy throughout the day doing all the things. Now, how do you find time to fit all these things in? Like, for any freshman coming in who has similar plans of doing military life and college life, trying to go officer school, what advice can you give them?
You know, put everything down like on a schedule, pretty much, and try to work out when your classes are. and what time practice is, and then find those free time in between. And that's pretty much like how I've ran everything this entire time. Something else that I kind of worked on a little bit more was I got myself a notebook, and anything that was due or at some point, I would write in that notebook and I would check it off as I go along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of like keep a written checklist of stuff that you need to get done is a good way of keeping track of yourself. And keeping yourself accountable, and then also just having a good schedule and trying to keep in a repetition. There's going to be a lot of nights where you're not going to sleep a lot, but as of right now, it's been well worth it, and you know, I'm still kicking, I'm still alive, so.
Right, it can't be too bad. And like Arnold Schwarzenegger said, sleep faster.
Very true.
Yeah, so it sounds like this is a very consistent effort. It doesn't sound like it's just like, oh, I'm gonna do this week, and then next week I'm gonna try something different. It sounds like this is a continuous, I have to be at my best, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it is. It pretty much, you gotta, you know, do this for the entire semester.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a little bit of break when it comes for winter break or summer break. So other than that, it's pretty much consistent. You gotta stay the course the entire time.
Now, the reason why I bring this up is kind of tacking on to my next question. You're a bigger guy. You're probably one of the biggest guys on our team. You obviously seen the weight room a couple times, and you're pretty well in shape. So what I want to kind of talk about is the difference between motivation and like an actual like commitment, you know, dedicating yourself to something. Because I'm sure everyone has felt motivated about something. You know, I feel motivated to do a little bit extra work today. I feel motivated to do my homework. I feel motivated to clean my room. Everyone feels motivation, but at the end of the day, motivation is just an emotion. It comes and it goes. So, in your own words, can you explain to me how you feel that dedication is different from motivation?
So, I would say, I mean, being motivated, like you said, is just just an emotion. But, you know.
So let me add a little bit more. In my experience, the things I've been motivated about were based on what was happening around me. You know, I feel a little bit extra down, so maybe I'll do something to perk myself up. You know, my room is getting kind of annoying because it's messy, so then I feel motivated to clean it. You know, or I'm having a friend over and I want to clean it, that kind of thing. But in my opinion, dedication almost comes from an inner drive, where the problem isn't external, it's internal. Something inside of me makes me want to do that just for the sake of completing it. Not for the benefits of it, just for my own fulfillment, if that makes sense.
Okay, so I guess going off that, I mean, being dedicated to something, I mean, I have a drive in me where I don't like to quit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if I choose to do something, I'm going to stay that course, and I'm going to, you know, keep going until I fulfill or actually accomplish what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so being dedicated to me is basically, and trying to stay dedicated to all of this, is really, you just got to stay the course, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best way I could talk about it, and just keep working. And I mean, it's going to be difficult because you're not going to always be motivated to do it.
Yeah.
But at that same, you know, scenario, at the end, it's going to be well, you know, rewarding. And you're going to be happy that you actually did it and you actually fulfilled on a commitment that you made to yourself and actually get it done. So I guess that's the best way I could probably describe it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that answers the question real well. But
okay. So do you focus on the end goal more often than the progress of completing the goal?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I focus more on the end goal, because if I can actually accomplish what I need to accomplish, that's a big step for me. But at the same time, I also have to look at the steps along the way and figure out how I want to actually get there.
Mm-hmm.
So saying that, you know, I also have like little check marks for myself, you know, to know where I'm at. on my journey to get there. But really, it's that end goal that keeps me motivated and keeps me dedicated to what I'm doing.
That's cool. The reason why I kind of bring that up is because wrestlers in general, as a stereotype, they're probably the most dedicated individuals I've met. Maybe I'm a little bit biased as a wrestling coach, but I feel like wrestlers have, they don't have a problem committing to something. They, if they have a goal that they really want to do, they'll get it. They'll go work towards it. But what's challenging to a wrestler is when that goal progressively becomes harder or it continues to extend farther. So just for instance, say I'm a 12-year-old kid trying to win states, you know? Maybe I don't win it my middle school years, and now I have to wait till high school. Just that setback is what gets people. You know, now I have to continuously work another 4 years where I only thought it was going to be two. So do you have any tips for people to kind of work through those setbacks? Like, you have your checklist and you're like, oh, if I get this done, then I'll work to B, I'll work to C, I'll work to D. Well, what happens when B isn't as simple as it seemed on paper? You know, what happens when B has three little check marks underneath it? How do you continue to stay focused? Do you have a little tips or tricks?
I wouldn't say there are tips or tricks. I mean, pretty much what I do, if something, you know, gets to me where it's just harder than I thought it was going to be, that next step, you know, I reanalyze, look where I'm at, and it might take me a little bit longer, and then I have to, you know, mentally just adjust where I need to be at that timeline. And so maybe somewhere else it might have to speed up a little bit more, you know, on my progress. But pretty much straightforward, I would say, like, you know, work on that. If it's something that's harder for you to do and that step's taking longer, work on it and try to figure it out. And then once you get it and you understand what's going on and you can move on to that next step, maybe try to work on the next step a little bit faster. At that point, you're kind of playing a little bit of catch up, but, you know, try to just, but it keeps the challenge in there. Keeps keeps yourself constantly on your toes. And I mean, us being humans, you know, we thrive with challenges.
Yes, we are a species that overcomes adversity at every stage.
And so, I mean, if you have something that's kind of easy for you, I mean, you're just going to get bored with it and kind of just burn out with it. But if it's challenging and, you know, you really have that passion for it, then, I mean, it should be one of those things that just keeps you dedicated and keeps you wanting to move forward.
You're not wrong. So, to my understanding, you've had an injury, right?
Yeah.
It was your hips, which isn't something you can really work around, especially at our sport. Now, what is interesting to me, because I've had to sit out a year. I've had to sit, maybe not the whole year, but I've had to sit out, and I've had to, like, sit through practice. It's a very humiliating experience watching everyone else get to work harder than you. Especially when you have that very I gotta work and progress mentality. I'm sure you have it considering all the things you're balancing and juggling around. And that kind of takes us back to what we're talking about with that dedication versus that motivation. The dedication to stay with the sport knowing eventually I will get the chance to come back to it versus getting discouraged because I'm not seeing myself in it today. Now my question to you is, how did you make up for the time you lost?
So what I did was, once I finally got cleared, it was sadly at that point it was at the end of wrestling season. So my freshman year I actually never got to compete. I had a red shirt, medically red shirt. And then once that happened, you know, I started trying to work a little bit more with Kyle or Cash Thompson and try to figure out, you know, what do I need to work on and how do I need to get better. And then so that was the remainder of the school year. Go home and I go back to my high school, start wrestling with my high school coach, and, you know, try to, like, pick up on a few things, try to actually learn how to wrestle now, because at this point I've been out for a year and, you know, my hips at that point weren't very strong, and, you know, if anyone really lifted it too high, it was, they just were going to be completely done for for a while. So I kind of had to, like, relearn how to, like, actually protect myself better than what I did when I was in high school. You know, being a bigger guy in high school, you know, I was bigger than everyone else, so I kind of bullied people a little bit. So that was kind of like my go-to in high school. Coming to college, I knew I wouldn't be able to do that. You know, people here are bigger, stronger, and faster than I was. So I really had to just work and try to do more technique and try to learn how to put that stuff into my arsenal and kind of just relearn a little bit on how to do it. Actually, how to wrestle is kind of humiliating
at
first, but you know.
Do you think it was do you think it was a beneficial thing that you had to sit out for that year? Or do you think it was just lost progress?
It was a little beneficial because I, you know, came in freshman year seeing what it took to be a college wrestler. But I mean, other than just seeing that firsthand and actually learning a little bit, it was kind of backwards for me just because I wasn't able to do a whole lot. And it just kind of was, you know, just like you said earlier, it was just kind of demoralizing sitting there watching everyone else work.
And I'm sure it would have been easy to just quit, right?
Yeah.
At any point, you're like, why am I doing this? I'm just sitting here watching everyone else work. And I've had that same thought. I've definitely had that same thought. I was like, I'm not getting better. I'm actually feeling worse being in this room. Why not just like leave and come back next year? Or why not just like do whatever? So what kept you going? What kept you to coming back to practice to watch everyone else get better? What kept you coming back after your injury to get better?
Well, after freshman year, or during freshman year, you know, just watching everyone, I was trying to like learn, trying to watch everyone, see how they wrestled. Maybe you could, you know, change my style up a little bit, learn a little bit more technique by watching. There's another dude named Brock Jones. He was a junior when I was a freshman. Had the same hip surgery that I did, so he kind of knew what was going on. His was a little bit worse than mine. So he kind of showed me more of like how I should wrestle, some different ways that he wrestled. And he was a really good wrestler, could have done great things for our Ohio Northern wrestling program, but you know, sadly because of his hips, he had to cut.
I mean, Beasley has talked about that. We agree.
And so, I mean, moving on, you know, coming into sophomore year, I wasn't really good. I mean, especially wrestling college athletes now for real and going live at them all day long, especially Cash Thompson, which, I mean, he just, you know, he's a good wrestler, and it's hard to wrestle him and not come out of the day not feeling like, man, why am I doing this? I mean, he puts a hurting on you, but it's always a good workout.
Right.
And
shout out to Cash.
He always teaches you something at the end of the day, too.
Right, I like Cash.
Yeah.
Now, you're getting beat up in a room by Cash, because he's a jerk. But when you go home, have you got a chance to go home to your high school and wrestle, like, say, your coach or any of the kids on the team or anything like that?
I wrestle the guys on the team. My coaches, once we go to college, they kind of said they've gotten old now, so they can't really wrestle.
Oh, they use that old word as an excuse.
So they use that excuse on us, but...
But it's a whole different world going back to your high school, isn't it? Like, you don't think you're progressing, especially when you have a partner who's pushing you as much as Cash is. But then when you go back to high school, that's generally when I feel like every wrestler realizes they're getting better. Like in college, like everyone's freshman year, they just feel like they are getting worse the entire year. Or they're supposed to, at least. And you're like, well, I'm losing all the time. I was top dog. Now I'm not. It is what it is. And I don't know if I'm happy with it. But as soon as they go back to high school, as soon as they go back to that first open mat and they grab their hands on that first, like either senior, sometimes as a freshman, whatever, and they just put the hurting on them. And like, well, a year ago, this kid was giving me a struggle. Now he's just another kid I could push around. That's when they start to feel like, oh, I'm progressing.
Yeah.
I love to see that. That's the moment I live for. I've seen it so many times, and like, I wait for that moment. But here's another question. So the military life in school. Now, we talked about it's kind of complicated balancing both. Now, there has to be some pros and there has to be some cons to having both at the same time. I'm sure, like, for instance, you're progressing through your life goals faster. Can you tell me any other pros or cons from it?
Some other pros, I mean, definitely learning how to like take care of everything around me. So like I know, especially being in the military, everything has to be pretty much looked straight, everything has to be cleaned up. So basically like household like type things that you should have been doing when you were a little kid and your mom yelled at you all the time.
Clean your room.
Yeah, that type of stuff. That stuff, I've gotten better at. I mean, especially when I was at home, I never really did that a whole lot. I mean, I was told to and I did it, but it
That
was
was when you were
never,
told to.
yeah, it was kind of more of you told to, or you just like, man, mom actually might be mad if I don't do this. So I would do it, but now it's kind of, I'm on my own, so now I do it, for myself. Coach gave us a book that said How to Make Your Bed Freshman Year, and it was written by a Navy SEAL, or a prior Navy SEAL veteran, and he pretty much just talked about like how to look at life and how to pretty much go forward with it. And so he's pretty much, he stated like every day make your bed, and when you, if you had like a really long day or something, you come back and wow, I actually made my bed. I actually had one thing accomplished today. I actually did one thing. Just little things like that. So those are kind of like a little bit of the pros. The cons, it's definitely, trying to budget your time with everything. I mean, to me, that's been really hard, just trying to get everything where I need to be at what times. Especially when I gotta go up to BG and I gotta miss practice on Thursdays for it. But I mean, or when I have to go to my field training exercises and stuff like that. But overall, I mean, there's not a whole lot of cons, but there's not a whole lot of pros. It's pretty much everything just balances out at the end
I
of the
feel it.
day.
Now, I would say there's definitely a certain level of camaraderie between you and your military buddies, and I know I've seen it on a team. You're definitely comrades in arms with your fellow wrestlers. How would you compare those two, like those two levels of camaraderie?
One's more kind, I would say kind of on a professional basis with the military, but we're all pretty much there. We all want to like serve our country, and we all want to basically just be the baddest people that we can be. And all those people there, they're a lot, they're mostly, they're a lot like wrestlers. We're all very determined people. And in that aspect, I mean, I kind of feel at home when I'm up there, just because with my battalion up there, they're, a lot of like the jokesters and tricksters like we have here, and but they're also really determined, like on the ONU wrestling team. And it's just, it's really good to have, those two different, like basically, I would say teams they go off of, but they're, very much the same. And I just, going between both of them, it's not a whole lot of a difference, to be honest.
Fair enough. Oh, so you're a heavyweight, right?
Yep.
So I wrestled 125. I don't weigh that anymore. But I'm a considerably different body type than you. And I'm your coach. So what I want to know is, how do you feel when I'm showing moves? I can think they're easy, they're my moves. But we've had to talk about like how we make modifications for your body style. How do you feel about that?
Honestly, I think they're working really well. I mean, especially like they just train your the way you teach, it translates so well between lighter guys and heavier guys. Especially what we're working right now with the push pulls, our different different shots we can take and our setups, and the little modifications that I have to throw in for the way I wrestle and how bigger guys wrestle. I think it works really well. It's actually one of the only times that I've actually felt super confident, mostly all across the board on my feet. I feel like definitely if I keep working on the moves that you've been teaching and I get more proficient at them, that it's going to be a world difference from what how I wrestled last year to this year. Definitely just how we wrestle now compared to like last year, and how we're learning technique and we're getting very into nitty gritty type of things about mm-hmm. it. It's been really helpful, and especially tying all the moves together, especially, you know, that single and what to jack you up and different things like that. It's been really helpful, just like knowing, okay, so if they do this, I'm fine. I kind of know another place to go and how to actually react out of it
mm-hmm.
so that I'm always in a scoring position.
Yeah, so you're always on attack. That's kind of how I'm trying to get it. And it gets complicated really quickly, because I'm sure you can imagine all the possibilities there are. So we've been, at least on our feet, we've been working on our feet for, what, at least 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
And we've only just now gotten, what, 3 or 4 moves down?
Yeah. It's been a slow process, but it's...
But it is a process. You got to take your time with it. One of the things I'm struggling with the most is, like, yeah, I have these moves in sequence in my head, right? But me personally, I'm actually not very good at a front headlock. And I'm decent at getting to an underhook. If I have to do something with the underhook besides what I showed you guys, I'm not good at it. So those, like, what I showed you from those positions are pretty much the extent of what I would do naturally. Does that make sense? So now the problem for me as a coach is figuring out things that not only are simple to teach, that fit in with what we're going with, but also works for both lighter and heavier guys. Because as a heavier guy, you guys are almost 100% hand fighting the entire time.
Yeah.
So it almost is like, how do I benefit the bigger guys from their hand fighting positions to a front headlock? Because, like, front headlocks to you guys are like the most basic thing you guys do. Doesn't make sense. That's like your foundation.
Yeah.
That's your base move. So, but a lighter guys, a front headlock is just a means to an end. So it makes me happy, feeling like those words he said. I don't know if you're just trying to gas me up because I'm your coach right in front of you, but that's good enough. Is there an area on our feet that you feel like should be better explained?
The only thing that, like, I'm kind of like been thinking more about is going from, you know, the heavier guys, we always go from that collar tie position.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, like, some place that maybe, instead of just that, you know, push-pull on the arms and stuff, is there a way we can do stuff off the head more?
Oh, definitely. Or,
yeah, that's kind of, like, the stuff that I've been trying to, like, play around with
mm-hmm.
When I'm at practice. Just because I know a lot of times when we go live wrestling, it's most of the guys, we just go collar ties because that's what we normally do.
Mm-hmm.
Lighter guys, I know they do a little bit of collar ties, but, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think I've ever had a collar tie moment in my life.
Well, light, a little bit lighter than me, I guess.
Yeah, just a tad, just half your size is fine. But one of the things I'm also trying to, like, implement in our team isn't so much me teaching you guys how to wrestle, but teaching you guys how to think about wrestling. And, like, we've started our series, right? And we get, like, our, you know, single to underhook to front headlock to single. That makes a nice little triangle. Now, the next stage that I'm trying to, like, introduce to you guys is thinking about how your opponent is reacting. Because everyone's focused on what they can do. You know, every wrestler I've talked to is like, well, if I do this, they're always focused on them. What I think is, I don't know if it's more important, but I know it's just as important, is what your opponent does. When your opponent reacts. Now, everyone knows he sprawls, he does this, but, like, I kind of like it more nitty-gritty than that. Like, if he moves left, where is his balance? Because if you knock someone off your balance, I mean, that's essentially what wrestling is. You're trying to get the takedown. Can't get a takedown if he's on balance. You got to knock him off his feet. So, like, the other day, I was like, we have our series. I want you guys to implement your favorite move. Now, some guys were getting it really smoothly. Some guys' favorite moves are already in this series. Doesn't really matter to me. What I'm trying to get you guys to kind of work around is how do these moves work, and how is my opponent going to work around him so I continue the series? Because, like, I've made this triangle myself, right? I started from scratch. I did my single leg. I figured out he's going to pull me up. How can I use that? All these, like, remember when at the beginning of the year I was talking about opposites?
Yeah.
I was like, whatever your opponent does or whatever you want him to do, do the opposite of it.
Mm-hmm.
that's pretty much all I want you guys to think about in all positions. Like, for instance, a sprawl. Everyone knows a sprawl is a counter to a shot, right? Yeah. But not many people realize a sprawl is actually a very committed move, and if you do it wrong, you're kind of SOL. You know, if you sprawl on someone, you only get one shot to do it, and if they're not where you sprawled, you're falling flat on your face. So how can you use that to your advantage? You know what I mean? You already know what reaction he's going to give. You already know where his weight's going to be. How can you use that to your advantage? And that's pretty much, it's a very complicated idea once it starts happening in real life. So it's going to be a continuous process. It's just kind of continuously tapping at that. Continuously, like, figuring out, trying to get you guys to flow. It's pretty much what I'm going to do. But that's the end goal. Right now, we're just working on our single legs, under hooks. Today, we might do. I might add one move today. Who knows? But what is your preferred coaching style?
I mean, for wrestling, I kind of, you know, like it when, especially when we're going over technique, where it's just like you're just showing it. You're kind of going through them, kind of just talking with it, talking mm-hmm. about what's going on, maybe like what they think that I should be doing, or maybe I'm telling them what I feel. Especially when we're working on technique, that's kind of what I like. But I mean, when we actually start going live on stuff, then it's more just, you know, just kind of push the pace and kind of rev stuff up.
That's when you want the drill sergeant to come out.
Yeah, that's when I kind of want the drill sergeant to come out. It's kind of more natural to me at that point.
Move, yep. Move your feet.
Yep, left, right, left.
Yep, set. I can't tell you how many times I heard that in my life. I'm not even a military. But I come from a military family. We talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
So I guess my last question, maybe one more after this, but what's your biggest little tip for incoming freshmen? What's a small thing you feel is important for most people to know?
In general, you know, just make sure that you know how to, like, time manage really well. That's really the biggest thing I can say. I mean, it's helped me out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout my college career so far, is just being able to know, okay, what time is this, what time is that, what little time do I have here to, you know, eat or maybe do some little bit more homework. That's pretty much, you know, the biggest thing I could probably give as, like, you know, motivation or like little tips to figure out what they want to do.
Yeah, so I'll ask one more. We got a couple people say time management. So this is probably like the third person saying time management. So I'm sure everyone by now knows time management is very important. But when you're trying to manage your time, it's very frequently you'll run into conflicts. You know, whatever basketball practice runs into study time, runs into, you know, fun time, whatever. How do you sort out your schedule? Like, when you have all these things that conflict, when I have all these things that are pulling you different directions, how do you sort out your schedule?
Okay. So I have different priorities for different things. So basically, when I go through ROTC, you know, that pretty much kind of tops trumps a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, you know, I'm only there pretty much one day a week, so whenever I have to go up there for, you know, skipping, having to miss practice or having to miss a class to go up there, once a week, you know, that's kind of one of the things that I kind of prioritize a little bit more. Mm-hmm. When it comes to schooling, I prioritize that a little bit more than wrestling, just because, you know, we are here to pretty much get a degree. Wrestling is one of those things, it's where at Division III, at least, like, you're doing it for the love of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any scholarships for it, so it's kind of like just prioritizing like what you do and trying to figure out, okay, if this is really important to me, then you're going to know, okay, I need to make time for this, or I need to do this. So if, like, your fun time is pretty much your, you know, top trump, what you want, then that's something that you're really going to have to focus on more and try to plan out. But if it's education or a program that you're really involved in, you know, like ROTC or sports, then that's something that you could prioritize more and then actually work towards that, having giving yourself more time to actually do that.
Yeah. So pretty much you set your time management based on your priorities. Your priorities are based off your pretty much your goals.
Yeah.
What you want to do after everything's done.
Yeah, pretty much.
Makes sense. That was Cole Medford, everyone. An amazingly hard-working individual who has time management skills that I couldn't even compare it to. So thank you for your time, Cole. Next on the podcast is going to be Skylar Caprella. And two things. One, we recorded the episode on his little brother's birthday, so I want to give him a shout-out. And two, I know his parents are looking forward to this episode especially. So hi, Mom and Dad. Tune in next week and hear your little boy's thoughts on things. As of right now, our YouTube page is probably the most active of all of our social medias, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those. We added a bunch of videos, me and Coach Quiet both. We've added our series on top and on our feet, so check those out. If anyone's having any problems seeing it, just let me know. I'll send you the link. We also uploaded all the photo shoot photos on a separate website in itself. We didn't want all those silly pictures to represent our team on our social medias, but we do know they're fun to have. So we wanted to give you guys the option to see them all and to have them yourselves. So for those who have the link and password to that website, great. For those who don't, you're more than welcome to message me or message anyone on the team, and I'm sure they'll be able to tell you. But with that being said, would you mind signing us off? Polar Bears on the Hunt?
Polar Bears on the Hunt on three. One, two, three.
Polar Bears on the Hunt. Appreciate you, man.